The life of a consumer interacting with technology products is normally pretty seamless, but too often when we talk about government, the consumer turned constituent is overwhelmed by which agency or level of government to go to for what issue. Inside the inner workings of government, this isn't much different, and inside the world of GIS, it can be even more challenging for leaders at the state level to do their jobs. It's kind of like one hand not knowing what the other is doing. If data is updated or changed at the local level, how do you ensure that state leaders know about it? The answer? It takes some elbow grease and a whole lot of effort. This is GIS Address. Welcome to the third episode of GIS Addressed, a podcast from the Scoop News Group podcast network. On this show, we dive into geographic information systems, how they work, why they're important, and in plain language, how they fit into government technology agency operations and initiatives as we know it. This podcast was created and has been organized in collaboration with the National States Geographic Information Council, commonly referred to as NISGIC. Our goal here is to take some of the more complex topics of GIS and make them understandable, accessible, and actionable for the average government audience. Last episode, we talked about framework data layers and how that standardization can lead to a more efficient government GIS operation. So stay with us here as we dive in even deeper to GIS here on the third episode of GIS Addressed. On today's episode, we'll talk about collaboration between state and local government agencies, specifically around GIS. It's about making sure that when a new road gets created in a municipality, ensuring that that road and that information makes its way up to the state GIS operation as well. Our guest today is Shelby Johnson, Arkansas's Geographic Information Officer. Shelby spends a huge amount of his time helping aid in the coordination between state and local government agencies on GIS. Shelby, thanks so much for joining GIS Address today.
Hey, thank you very much, Jake. Pleased to be here.
So Shelby, tell us a little bit about why collaboration and coordination between state and local governments is important. What does it enable GIS agencies to do?
You know, we're located here at the state capitol in Little Rock. And I always tell, you know, someone in one far corner of the state or another that how do they presume, or does anyone presume, that someone in Little Rock would know when a new road is built and has addresses assigned on that new road, or what that new road name is. Those are local business processes driven by local decision makers, local city councils, local planners, or counties. And there's just not a role in the business process for naming roads or adding roads to a database, for example, that would happen at the state level. That's a necessarily local function. Same goes for a municipal boundary, for example. A city decides to hold an election and grow the city or expand with new population or new housing. That municipal boundary change is something that would never be known at the state level unless it's coordinated. On the flip side, there are state agencies who have roles and missions to play where they need to know about that new road because there may be new addresses of citizens that require state services. There might be a need for the state at the, for example, election administration level to be able to draw up a new election boundary based on the new municipal boundary. So those are a couple quick examples where there's something that's a business process at the local level, and at the state level, someone needs to know or consume that information. And in order for those two things to happen, you have to have coordination in between.
Tell us a little bit more about some of that collaboration and how framework and some of the other issues that are really relevant to state GIS leaders really come up and how collaboration can help those.
Well, I think one thing that comes to mind that should be front and center on most state GIS shops, certainly a lot of mayors and local elected officials are thinking about the 2020 census. There is a lot of local level data that needs to be rolled up to a state level and aggregated at the state level for various reasons, and that data needs to be rolled up to the Census Bureau as well. I mentioned, you know, you had mentioned the framework data. And administrative boundaries is a good example of that, Jake. if the city makes a boundary change, they want to be certain that that boundary is accurately reflected in the federal data when the 2020 population count happens. So that's a really great example where, and again, a business transaction at the local level happens. It can be coordinated and rolled up to the state level, and then at the state level, it can be rolled again up to the federal level and used by someone else. So I think that's a good example.
What are some of the biggest challenges that agencies face when trying to collaborate and coordinate? Specifically, how have you overcome those challenges in Arkansas, or how have you heard other states overcoming them elsewhere?
One of the biggest challenges that we see is scarcity of resources. First thing folks will usually jump to is that they're thinking about budget or money. And that's very important. It does require budget. It does require funding to tackle these coordination issues and challenges. But I might also say that scarcity of resources might be personnel or expertise. And another thing that we've seen that's a challenge is attrition. Just at the local level, for example, when we have a new mayor or a new administration take place or to take office, and they change staff or bring on new staff, or you have staff that retires. And so when those instances of attrition happen in the workforce, you have institutional memory that's lost. You might have an office holder that comes into office and says, realistically, why are we exhausting our energy and effort coordinating with a state-level entity that wants something from us? And so we have to go back out and look that person in the eye and sit down with them and explain the value proposition of the things that we're doing for them that will help them, and in turn, their sharing of that local GIS data helps the state. Good example of one of the ways that we found that facilitates that is instances where the state can procure, for example, something that the local level needs. And imagery happens to be a framework data set that's really a good data set for doing that, where, for example, the state could buy in bulk, acquire an entire state, and then be able to share that valuable data back down to the local level, and that brings them value in two different ways. First, they get the data. Second, they didn't have to facilitate and coordinate the procurement, develop the specifications, do the project management, worry about the quality control on the back end, and then do the distribution. Those are things that states are, like ours, we are fortunate to be well positioned to do that and pass that data back down to the local level. And then we just ask in turn that those other valuable data sets that they have in their business processes, like roads or parcels, for example, could be shared back up to the state level, where we can put them in a larger data set and then be able to have our colleagues in the state agencies that have missions to carry out be able to use that same data. So the value there is that both the state and local government entities are both using the same set of data.
So last question here, how can collaboration and coordination really change the game for state GIS agencies going forward? What could the future look like if both levels of government are in sync on GIS?
There's an example that I kind of like to think of is we have a category of roads in Arkansas that are called state aid roads. It's an example where the local level of government is going to make an improvement on that road, and that road has a big enough usage that it's valuable for the state to invest and share in part of the expense of that road improvement. And those state aid road projects are commonly done in partnership with both the state and local funding. And I could see a future where both that local agency and the state agency are able to pass back and forth their project information about, say, for example, a road widening or an overlay project or a new bridge construction using a route section and log mile, that data didn't exist prior to a few years ago. And we had an opportunity to participate in a project where the Federal Department of Transportation had requested that all states deliver what they called a MAP 21 data set that would entail route section and log mile, along with a few other bits of data for all public roads, not just state and U.S. highways. And so that's an example in the future where, you know, the state agency and the local level agency would be using the same piece of information to pass back and forth a transaction about a proposed project. There's probably several other examples, but that's one that comes to mind.
Unfortunately, I think that's all the time that we have today on this third episode of GIS Addressed, powered by StateScoop and NISGIC. Shelby, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks very much, Jake. Enjoyed it.
So that is that. Today we talked about how state and local government agencies can and should come together to coordinate on GIS data. Over the coming weeks and months, we're going to dive into other pieces of the GIS puzzle and figure out how it all comes together in a way that makes government work better. Thanks again to our guest, Shelby Johnson, Arkansas GIO, for being on the show today. To our audience, come back next time for another episode of GIS Addressed.